Stay with us as we discuss the question, do Christians worship three gods? Right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. I'm Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick is discussing the doctrine of the Trinity. Does it really mean that Christians worship three gods, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Some people think so, and that's what we want to find out. I'll be back at the close of the program to tell you about our special offer. And now, with today's installment, here's Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you. It's good to have you with us, listening friend, as we continue this series of studies on the Trinity. And what we're doing in this series of programs is looking at the Trinity from a Hebrew Christian perspective, from a Jewish Christian perspective. We're looking at the Trinity through Jewish eyes. And we've said that the Trinity wasn't clearly revealed in the Old Testament. It's one of those mysteries that was obscured in the Old Testament, but it's revealed in the New Testament. So it's true that the Trinity is not an overt teaching of the Old Testament. Nevertheless, there are many clues and hints scattered throughout the Old Testament that point to this wonderful and mysterious teaching. For example, what about the name Elohim, which in the Hebrew is a plural form? Elohim, the I-M ending makes it plural. For example, we talk about one seraph or many seraphim. When we travel to Israel, we may stay in one kibbutz or several kibbutzim, one Talmud, two Talmudim, one Midrash or several Midrashim. The Midrashim are the Jewish commentaries. You see, it's the I-M ending that makes it plural. And when you turn to the opening verses of Genesis, the Hebrew name for God is Elohim. It's a masculine plural noun. Now, some scholars are quick to point out that the name Elohim, although it looks like a plural, doesn't always convey the idea of plurality. It can be a plural of majesty, for example, which uses the plural I-M ending to convey majesty or importance or reverence. A good example of the majestic plural is found in Genesis 42:30, where Joseph is called the Lord of Egypt. It's the word Elohim. Joseph was the Elohim of Egypt. Now, obviously, there was only one Joseph. So, in that passage, the plural noun Elohim doesn't mean more than one. It's a plural of majesty, which is a term of respect and reverence for someone who has a high and exalted position. But there are other clues that definitely do point to the idea of plurality in the name Elohim when it refers to God. One example would be the plural pronouns and adjectives that are used in connection with Elohim to designate God. And Elohim said, "Let us make man in our image." Genesis 1:26. And Genesis 3:2 says, "And the Lord Elohim said, Behold, the man is become as one of us." Other examples of plural adjectives are found in Deuteronomy 4:7, where it says, "Elohim krovim, a God so nigh," and Joshua 24:19, "Elohim kadoshim, a holy God." In fact, the idea of plurality is so strong in these passages, some of the traditional Jewish sources have tried to explain it by saying that God was talking to angels. "Let us make man in our image," talking to angels, they say. Well, the problem with that interpretation is that man was not created in the image of angels. He was created in the image of God. And I'm not going to have time to give you all this information here on the air, but I've cited other Jewish sources in the booklet, and you can send for the booklet, of course, even from the Midrashim, showing that the plural name Elohim, when it's used in connection with other plural pronouns and adjectives, implies a plurality. You see, that's what we're talking about. As we walk through the pages of the Old Testament, we find these clues, these hints, scattered all over the landscape, foreshadowings of a fuller revelation that would come later with the New Testament. It's interesting that there are even more clues in the writings of Jewish mysticism from the Hasidic and the Lubavitcher traditions. For example, Rabbi Tzvi Nasi was lecturer of Hebrew at Oxford University many years ago, and he wrote a large book, much of it in Hebrew, entitled The Great Mystery, How Can Three Be One? And in this classic work, Nasi shows how the Hebrew scriptures portray the God of Israel in a threefold way. First, as Father and King. Second, as Eternal Son, or the Angel of Yahweh, which in rabbinic writings is often referred to as Metatron, and in the Targumim as Memra, the Word, or the Logos. And third, as Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. His source documents include the Targumim, the Babylonian and Palestinian Talmudim, and the books of the Jewish Kabbalah, particularly the Zohar. Let me read you one of the quotes from the Zohar. It says, "How can they, the three, be one? Are they verily one because we call them one? How three can be one can only be known through the revelation of the Holy Spirit." And here's what the Encyclopedia Judaica says, quote, "The Kabbalah, on the other hand, especially the Zohar, its fundamental work, was far less hostile to the dogma of the Trinity, since by its speculations regarding the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, it evolved a new Trinity." And they're right. Let me go back and read that quotation I read a moment ago in its context in the Zohar. Listen to this. "Come and see the mystery of the word Yahweh, YHWH. There are three steps, each existing by itself. Nevertheless, they are one and so united that one cannot be separated from the other. The ancient Holy One is revealed with three heads, which are united into one, and that head is three exalted. The ancient One is described as being three, because the other lights emanating from Him are included in the three. But how can three names be one? Are they really one because we call them one? How three can be one can only be known through the revelation of the Holy Spirit." Isn't that amazing? Now, we're not saying that the author of the Zohar was a born-again believer in Yeshua or anything like that. As a matter of fact, he was not a believer in Yeshua. But whether he realized it or not, the writer of the Zohar presented ideas that closely parallel the doctrine of the Trinity. Let me give you another example. In its comments on the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4, here's what the Zohar says. "Why is there need of mentioning the name of God three times in this verse?" And here's the answer the Zohar gives to that question. "The first Yahweh is the Father above. The second is the stem of Jesse, the Messiah, who is to come from the family of Jesse through David. And the third one is the way which is below, meaning the Holy Spirit who shows us the way. And these three are one." Isn't that remarkable? Three Jehovahs. First, the one whose father, or Abba. Second, the Messiah, who is the stem of Jesse. And third, the Holy Spirit. And these three are one, it says. One in three and three in one. Unity in Trinity and Trinity in unity. Do you see the parallel? That's what we mean when we say there are clues scattered throughout the Jewish sources and throughout the Jewish scriptures. In fact, let's take some time here before we run out of time to go to the book of Isaiah. And I want to show you something that shows up over and over again in scripture. And it very well may be yet another clue pointing us to the triunity of God. The book of Isaiah, chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Here's what it says. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 3. What a wonderful trilogy of praise. The seraphim, it says, have three pairs of wings, three sets of two. And what do they say? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. They repeat it three times. Holy, holy, holy. In Hebrew, repetition means emphasis. And the emphasis is on God's holiness. But is it possible that the threefold repetition here is yet another clue pointing us to God's triunity? I think so. You find the same thing happening in the Torah in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 27, where you have a threefold benediction, a triune benediction. What am I saying? I'm saying that the concept of divine triunity isn't nearly as foreign to Judaism as we sometimes are led to believe. There is more common ground than many of us on either side realize. Well, that's all of our time for today. Next time, we'll get into some of the Jewish scriptures, and we'll find even more clues about the mysterious Trinity or triunity of God. I'll see you then. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. Now, let me tell you about our special offer for this month. It's Gary Hedrick's booklet entitled, Do Christians Worship Three Gods? In this 70-page booklet, Gary addresses head-on the question of whether or not the doctrine of the Trinity makes Christianity incompatible with the teachings of the Jewish Bible, or what we call the Old Testament. It's available for a suggested gift of $7. After all, the Jewish people have always been champions of monotheism. The central creed of Judaism is Deuteronomy 6:4, which says the Lord our God is one Lord, not three. So when a Jewish person becomes a believer in Jesus, isn't he forsaking his monotheistic Jewish heritage? Surprisingly enough, the answer is no. And you'll find out why in this interesting booklet. It has an informative question and answer section, and also a helpful glossary of Hebrew words at the end. The title again is, Do Christians Worship Three Gods? Then we also have the programs you're hearing here on the broadcast, available on two CDs with the same title, Do Christians Worship Three Gods? This series is available for a suggested gift of $12. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on Do Christians Worship Three Gods? Right here on Messianic Perspectives. We'll be right back. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.